I'm going to start off by showing you this picture. This picture right here that you are going to see on the screen in just a minute is, there it is. That is one of, or a few of the 500,000 gold bars that are at the Federal Reserve in New York City. It is a total weight of around 6,200 tons. And so those bars right now, if you go to New York City and Manhattan, what you see is the Federal Reserve. And then 80 feet below the street level and 50 feet below sea level is 500,000 gold bars that are sent to New York from all over the world for safekeeping there and the Federal Reserves in New York. A total right there of $260 billion of gold is sitting 80 feet down from the Federal Reserve in New York. And the reason is they had to find a place to put this gold that was strong enough to hold this gold, 6,200 tons. That's a lot of gold. That's a lot of weight. And the reason they put it there is because the bedrock of Manhattan is so strong that it can sit on that bedrock, and the foundation is so strong that it's able to hold all that gold. The 80 feet down, so what they do is the gold, it was interesting reading this, what they do with the gold is when they get gold sent to the Federal Reserve, they take it down an elevator, and there's always three people that have to be there. Two people that work at the Federal Reserve, and then there's another person that is the audit person, and he's there. So every time something is done down in the vault, because they have vaults all over that right there is just one picture of a vault they opened up and they took pictures. That's all gold bars right there. But they have to have three people. So I just went, well, that makes sense. But they have to have these three people. Imagine this job. That these three people have to be there every time something's done. So if a light goes out and they have to change a light bulb, somebody else has to change a light bulb. They have to call these three people, and then they have to go down there just to watch this guy change a light bulb. Now, why do they do that? Well, because, you know, it's a lot of gold bars down there. And so, I mean, who's $260 billion, he's going to miss just one little gold bar. But each gold bar is probably worth around $2,000 or around there. And so they put that down there because it's one of the only places they could find that all that weight is be able to be held because it has a strong foundation. And I use that illustration to point out what we're going to talk about tonight, because we're going to finish James chapter 1, finally finish James chapter 1. And yet, everything that we're going to talk about tonight in James chapter 1 is really the foundation of how we can deal with trials. And what we're going to read in just a minute, we always hear sermons about what I'm going to read, especially in 19 and 20, but we always hear sermons about that, and we just, really, they're just standalone sermons. But when you're looking in James, and if you have your Bibles, turn to James 1, 19, and when you're looking at this scripture in James 1, 19 and 20, we have to understand that that is talking about everything that's been talked about before. So all of chapter 1 is talking about trials, temptations. And so in James 1, 19 and 20, let me go ahead and read that. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." How many of y'all have heard that scripture before about slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath? How many of y'all have heard that scripture before? We've always heard that, and they've talked about how we're supposed to respond to people, how we're supposed to talk to people, and that's all true. And yet, James put that there, or God put that there, for us to be able to understand that in a trial, when we are going through a trial, when we have something that comes up in our life, whether it's finances or health or a problem in relationships, everything that we've talked about the last 2 or 3 weeks, whenever a trial comes up in our life, we need to get to the place in our life where we are swift to hear. Swift to hear what? We're swift to hear the Word of God. And that we are slow to speak and we are slow to wrath. Because what it is saying with us is many times when we have trials, it automatically is just saying, and it makes you realize that trials just do things to people that change their life. But it's saying that when we have trials in our lives, sometimes these trials can make us angry, make us mad. And so God threw in this, through James, this scripture that says, I want you to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And then he tells you why. He says, because the wrath of man, which would be how we respond to a trial, how we get upset in a trial, the wrath of man does not produce or does not show the righteousness of God. So this whole scripture about trial, what God's trying to show us with these two verses right here, is that when we have a trial, what God wants us to do is to be able to shine through that trial in such a way that the righteousness of God shines through us. That's hard. And he knows that it's going to be hard, so he says, if you are very slow to speak and slow to wrath, and you're quick to listen to God, that's going to help produce this righteousness that's inside of your life. Many times when a trial comes upon us, it catches us so off guard that we respond by getting angry and having wrath and saying, and we'll read that later on in this, but and we're saying things that we shouldn't say. And what he's saying is, here, the reason you have this trial is because God wants his righteousness to shine through you in the trial that you're going through. Now, let's talk about, so 19 and 20 is not really about being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. 19 and 20 is all about the righteousness of God. And God is saying to us that when you have the righteousness of God in you, and it's produced in you, then you're going to be able to be a witness through the trials that you have in your life. Many of us don't think that way. We just want to figure out how we want to get through this trial. God's saying, you have this trial, and it's going to produce righteousness in your life. So let's talk about righteousness for a minute. Because when I say righteousness, many people do not know what I'm talking about when I say righteousness. So what is righteousness? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, righteousness is going to say that it's justice. It's going to say how we live. Righteousness used to be spelled, in the early days, righteousness used to be spelled righteousness, which meant righteousness was wise in the right way. To be wise in the way that you act. To be wise in how you live your life. And yet when we talk about righteousness and whether it's justifiable or right, we have to understand that we as human beings, we cannot be righteous. The only way we are righteous is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And so when we understand the word righteous, and he says here in James that this is supposed to produce righteousness in us, then that means that we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to be able to respond the right way when we have trials in our life. That's what righteousness is. See, right here as a believer, when I asked Jesus Christ in my heart, I was made right with God. Now, how was I made right with God? The reason I was made right with God is before I was a believer, before I asked Jesus in my heart, I was separated from God. I was not right with God. Because here's God in heaven, and here am I on earth, and God cannot look upon me because God is so holy that God cannot look upon sin. And because I have sin in my life, which everyone has sin in their life, but you are born with sin because of Adam and Eve, and now every offspring that they've had and every offspring after that, everyone is born with a sin nature. And because God is so holy, God cannot look upon any man that does not have Jesus Christ. It's sin. He is so holy that just with his holiness, he cannot look upon someone that sinned. So before I asked Jesus Christ in my heart, I was not right with God. And so then when I got introduced and somebody told me about Jesus Christ, I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. Now here's where Jesus Christ comes into the picture. Jesus Christ is righteous because Jesus Christ is the only person who never sinned. And because Jesus Christ never sinned, he died on the cross for our sins. And through his blood, we ask Jesus into our heart, and Jesus becomes the mediator. And so through Jesus Christ only, what can God do now? God can look upon us. And because Jesus Christ died on the cross, and we've asked Jesus Christ into our heart, and the Holy Spirit has come into our heart, that very moment that I asked Jesus Christ in my heart when I was a teenager, I became righteous. Not from my own doing, but from Jesus Christ. I became righteous at that point. Now, that doesn't mean I always live righteous. But yet God, through Jesus Christ, makes us all righteous. And so when we have Jesus in our heart, when we face a trial, God's saying, this is how you should act, because he wants to produce righteousness coming out of our life. Everybody in this room, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, I'm here to say to you now, whether you believe it or not, you're righteous. You're righteous before God, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and because we are filled with the Holy Spirit at that point, we are righteous before God, and God wants to produce righteousness and wants us to live a righteous life. And it's not a bunch of rules and regulations. What it is he wants us to live the best we can on this earth the way Jesus lived. And what Jesus says in the Word of God. That's righteousness. Look at righteousness and look at Jesus as a plumb line. You know what a plumb line is? A plumb line is what you measure everything else by. And so you look at Jesus as the plumb line. And Jesus has made us righteous. And because he's made us righteous through the dying on the cross and raising and coming the third day, then that means that he is now the plumb line. He is the one that we look at, that we try to strive to be like. And so when it says to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because then it says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, that is saying to us in our trials that we have, when we are angry as human beings, when we get angry and we have wrath, what that does not measure up to what? The plumb line. And righteousness is not given to people. Now, does the Bible say here never to get angry? No, it says slow to anger. So we are going to get angry sometimes. But the more we hear from God, then what we're going to do is we are going to be able to understand that when we are faced with circumstances and situations in our life in which we have to live and something's about to happen and we are feeling ourselves tempted to get angry, then we're going to have to live so close to God that when that happens to us, because it will happen to us, right? It's going to happen to you just driving home tonight. It's going to happen to you, especially on 225, because they got that stuff closed up. If y'all been to Pasadena Boulevard on 225, the wrath of God came out on me the other day, accidentally. I'm telling you that. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't the wrath of God, because God, it was just my wrath. Some car jumped in front of me, and an 18-wheeler, and I had to ask God to forgive me. I'll tell you, I did not produce any righteousness on that very moment when I was going down 225. However, that is what it's saying. That if you live so close to God, the plumb line, that righteousness will shine when you have situations in your life that normal people would look at and think, I wonder how they handled that so well. And it's because you're so close to the plumb line because you are now righteous. Now, again, you are righteous whether you live like it or not. So everything apart from the plumb line really gives God a bad name. You are righteous if you ask Jesus Christ in your heart. So everything we do that is not righteous gives God a bad name. That's why in the scripture, if you follow now, let's go to verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But when you look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one is blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted of the world. So we are righteous because Jesus Christ came into our heart. And that is why right here it's saying you need to lay aside all this. And when you look at this, it says, I need you to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Because what happens to us if we just hear the word and not do the word is we'll hear the word, but the Bible says because of our nature, it's like looking in a mirror and then you walk away from the mirror and forget what you look like. And I read that scripture and I thought it has everything to do with what Luke 6 says about being hearers of the word and doers of the word. And that has everything to do with what foundation you stand on. And we're going to read that. And my question to you as a Christian tonight, if you are a Christian tonight, let's have a little foundation inspection. You know, around your house, sometimes they have to come and look at the foundation around your house, and sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's cracked. Sometimes it's really unlevel. Sometimes the whole house is lopsided. And it's all based on the foundation. So how we respond to trials is based on the righteousness of God, the foundation of how close we are to God, and the only way that we can get close to God is not to be just a hearer of the word, but to also be a doer of the word. And when we become a doer of the word, as we'll see in just a minute in Luke 6, when we become a doer of the word, what happens is when we have trials in our life, God shines through. And it's just not with trials, it's with anything in our life, but James is talking about trials. So turn over to Luke 6. In Luke 6, in verse 46, let's talk about what this says. He's talking about a foundation of a house. And Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 46, he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them." Here it is. "Whoever comes to me, hears my saying and does them, I will show them who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug a deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the steam beat against the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat, and immediately it fell, and ruin of the house was great." So there's three areas of our life to have a strong foundation when we deal with trials in our life. And so this is a foundation. This is a foundation inspection on our life. Number one, it says, "Whoever comes to me." Now, "comes to me" equals salvation. And so the first question as you're looking at your foundation, your spiritual foundation, is, has there ever been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ in your heart, and he came into your heart and forgave your sins, and when he forgave your sins, you became righteous right then before God? So the first part of your foundation is this: whoever comes to me. If you are a Christian, I'm going to give you an A plus, because there's nothing better than being a Christian. You're going to get an A plus on this part of it for your foundation. However, according to this scripture, just asking Jesus into your heart doesn't make your foundation strong, does it? According to this scripture, it doesn't. It's just one part of three areas. Now, your salvation makes you saved, and your salvation makes you righteous before God, but your foundation right now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're lined up with the plumb line of Jesus Christ and that you're living your life as Jesus. You're righteous just in namesake because Jesus says you're righteous, because he's righteous. And when you asked him into your heart, he put that righteousness on you. And so if you've come to Jesus in your heart, you right now, you get an A+. There's not even a grade lower than that. There's nothing better than coming to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yet coming to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior alone and not doing anything else in your life is not going to be able to help as much in trials as you would think if you do not do the two others. So having Jesus Christ in your heart is very, very important. But there are some areas of our life that God wants us to live once we've asked him into our heart. So it says, "Come to me." That equals salvation. I mean, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in me." So anybody can come to Jesus. They just have to realize they've been a sinner. Now, it says this: "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings." Hears my sayings. Now, that you come to Jesus Christ and you study. You pray. When you pray to God, God will speak back to you in his Holy Spirit through the Spirit in your life. When you study the Word of God, you're going to hear from God. When you come to church, you're going to hear the Word of God. You hear it from Dr. Redman, you hear it from John, myself, you hear it from your connection group leader, you hear the Word of God. So God, it's saying that whoever hears my sayings, whoever comes to me and hears my saying. So your foundation, if you have come to Jesus Christ, and just I'm just even going to say you being here tonight, and if you've read your Bible in the last week, I'd give you an A. Just coming here tonight, what are you doing tonight? You're hearing God's sayings. You're hearing what God says. That's good. So I'm going to give you an A. So right now, if you've come to Jesus Christ, you've got an A plus. Some of that's the highest grade some of y'all have ever made in your life, an A plus. And if you're here listening to my voice and you've read your Bible just within the last week, you are hearing God's sayings, because there's nothing better than God's Word, because that's God's voice to you. You're hearing His sayings. And yet James and Luke, both of them say, even if you have Jesus in your heart, and even if you hear His sayings, that's still not a strong foundation. Both of them say that if you come to me, hear my saying, and you do them. Those who come to me, hears my saying, and does them. That's obedience. Now that's the question where we look at our own lives and we look at Jesus' plumb line and we have to ask ourselves, am I doing what God in His Word has challenged me to do? Now James is saying that what many Christians do, it's like looking in a mirror and looking at yourself and you hear it. So I would say it would be like having your quiet time, or it would be like coming to church, or it'd be coming to your connection group and then closing your Bible. You're a Christian, you've come to church, you've come to connection group, you've even had your quiet time, but then you turn, and it's like looking in the mirror, you forgot who you look like. Well, who do you look like? Well, you look like Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one who died for you on the cross, and when you ask Jesus in your heart, you have Jesus in your heart. And so as a Christian, you look like Jesus Christ. If people know that you have Jesus in your heart. And so James and Luke right here, they are saying to you, if you do not obey what I say, then your foundation is shaky. So it really all has to do with, what do you do for Christ in the area of obedience? When God says to forgive, do you forgive? When God says in His Word to love one another, do you love one another? When God says in His Word to be kind, are you kind? When God sends in His Word to be gentle, are you gentle? When God says in His Word to love your husband or love your wife, do you love your husband or love your wife? When God says in His Word not to let any filthiness come out of your mouth, do you let filthiness come out of your mouth? When God says in His Word to have goodness, do you have goodness? It's the plumb line. And I have to be honest with you, I fall short of this plumb line many times. And so the challenge tonight to all of us is a very easy challenge. And James is challenging us, and Luke is challenging us. You made an A+ on the first part. Just being here tonight, I'm being nice for all of us, and I'm giving us all an A. When it comes to obedience to Christ, what's your grade? Do you realize that in a foundation, even one crack in a foundation can make everything unlevel? So when God is asking you, how is it with the plumb line? How is your foundation? How is your obedience? You know, in school, they used to let us grade our own papers. And I'm going to let you grade your own paper on that one. But this right here, the plumb line of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, is the answer sheet. And the challenge is not just to have Jesus in your heart, and not just to hear what Jesus is saying, but to be obedient to what Jesus is saying. And the closer we get to the plumb line, when you have a trial in your life like we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks, the less wrath we're going to see. Because the closer we get to the plumb line, the stronger our foundation is in Jesus Christ. That's our goal. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be easy. I'm not going to stand up here and say it's going to be easy. But just because it's not easy doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. That we all as a church strive to get as close to the plumb line of Jesus Christ by living our life the way Jesus lived his life. And by what the Bible says and how the Bible says we're supposed to live. So how's your foundation? What are the areas of your life that maybe you need to give to God in obedience? That's between you and God. But I know this, your heart would be full of joy because your foundation is strong and you're not going to have to worry about falling. Have you ever had that feeling? Just feel like you might fall. The stronger your foundation, the closer you are to the plumb line, the sturdier it is that you can stand under troubles and trials in your life. It's good news to me. So let's bow our heads. God, I pray as we finish up chapter 1 in James that you have shown us so many insights to how you want us to be in our lives. And Father, first of all, I just want to thank you for that when I asked Jesus into my heart, that Father, at that point you made me righteous. But Father, I have to admit, even this morning, there's a lot of times I don't produce righteousness out of my life. And I can feel my foundation getting weak. Father, I pray everybody in this room that they have come to that place in their life where they've come to you. They know you. That A+, that grade that they would have, come to me. Father, they have an A+ in that. Father, if there's someone here tonight, they're not sure, or Father, they don't know if they're saved. Father, I pray that tonight they'll come forward during this invitation. And Father, that they'll ask just, how is it that I get saved? Father, maybe there's some people here that when they heard the part about, here's my word, Father, maybe just somehow over time their life has gotten busy and they hadn't come to church as much or opened their Bible and had their quiet time as much or their devotion as much. Father, for them to have a strong foundation, maybe in their lives tonight, they just need to say, God, I need to commit tonight to get back to hearing your word. Father, maybe there's some here tonight that there's areas of their life they're not obedient in. And Father, they need to just repent of that tonight and get on that right track. And their foundation will become firm under their feet. And Father, when things happen in their life, they'll be so close to the plumb line that people will ask, I wonder how they can handle and be that way when all that stuff's going on. Father, maybe some tonight need to repent of that and just become obedient again. So Father, maybe there's some tonight that just want to join our church and be a part of a Bible-believing church. But Father, most of all, we want you to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit and change our lives to be closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.